Hello, everyone, and happy Sunday. Thank you, Ron. I actually don't hear you when you speak, Ron. I'm not sure why, but even though I have my speakers turned up all the way, I don't get the pleasure of hearing you. But I do notice, I do try to pay attention and just notice when you put the mic down so that I know to take it. But if you're ever speaking to me and I don't respond, that's why. I can't hear you. So again, happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to our first gathering of the month of December. Today is December 1. And yes, of course, I am, you know, back after a month away from Pal Talk. 3 weeks in India, and then 1 week of, you could call it, rest and recuperation. Hopefully y'all can hear me okay. Is that true? Am I making an untrue assumption, or are you able to hear me? Good, good, because I'd love for you to be able to hear the entire program as we have our gathering this morning. I'm getting pop-ups right now, so let's just double-check that again. Can you still hear me, or have you lost me as a result? Yes, you can still hear me. Okay. All right. Then I won't mess with anything. My screen has kind of changed. I now have, instead of one list of names on the right, I now have two lists of names on the right. So it's a little funky. So if you guys do lose me, just let me know. Of course, I'll keep my eyes on the board, and I will go out and come back in. For now, since you hear me fine, we will just continue. How's that sound? And what we're going to do, oh, by the way, you may hear that I sound a little sexier than usual. That is, of course, because I have a cold. Yeah. Yes, I have a cold. In fact, I think everyone that went on this trip to India got a cold. So we're all sharing our low, sexy voice. Yeah. And I saw some messages from Tay yesterday on Facebook. She's also still spending a lot of time in bed. I am spending a lot of time in bed. So we're getting lots of sleep after our trip away to India. What I would like to do is just start playing the song that I like to play while we greet one another. The name of this song is We Are Awakening. And why don't we all just take a moment to say hi on the board. Also, let me know how the volume of the music is.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
that now, and I apologize for not joining in with you all on the board. When I went to type my greetings on the board, I discovered that I'm at least locked up in that way. So like I said, once those pop-ups came, some things are going on strange here, and one thing I'm not able to do is to type in the chat area. So, but as long as y'all can hear me, like I said, we'll just continue. What I'm going to do now, this is the time of the service where we read our statement of purpose, and what I want to do today is just read our five core values, because from at least my perception, the real foundation of awakening together is the five core values. And when I came back from India and was getting reassociated with my life here, because while I was away, I didn't think about it at all. And when I came back, it was almost like some kind of a forgetfulness had happened in my mind, and I you know, couldn't remember. I couldn't even remember how to use the computer. I couldn't remember, you know, what Awakening Together was about. I couldn't, you know, it took some time to get those gears working again. And so one thing that I discovered when I went looking back into Awakening Together to discover for myself what it's about was I found that, at least in my humble opinion, the core values are the heart of Awakening Together. And I found that I am very much bought into the core values, that they exist in me, and that I am absolutely willing to exist in them. So let me read those core values to you. Number one, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. Number two, we realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition, that is, an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. Number three, we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Number four, we affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. And number five, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. So now it is time for our announcements. The first announcement is that tonight is the first Sunday of the month, which means that it is our monthly membership meeting. And last month, Jay led the monthly membership meeting because I was in India. Of course, I'll lead tonight's monthly membership meeting because I'm back now. And one thing I'm going to talk about tonight, in fact, the primary thing I'm coming to talk about tonight, is the Minister Preparation Program. Oh, and David is asking me if I would care to say the time. Yeah, the monthly membership meeting is going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 5 p.m. Pacific Time. It immediately follows my teaching of Inner Ramana. So I will be here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with Inner Ramana, and then maybe play a song as a transition or something, and then go directly into the membership meeting after that at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And as I mentioned tonight, the focus of the meeting is going to be talking about the Minister Preparation Program. I told you all that I didn't even think about Awakening Together while I was in India. That's true with one exception. And the one exception is a couple of the people that I was traveling with asked about the Minister Preparation Program. And so, of course, I answered those questions. In that point, my mind was with Awakening Together. Since I've been back here, I've gotten emails, people asking about the Minister Preparation Program. It seems like people are really excited about this program. They want to know more about it, and many are considering participating. And so I don't want to delay it any more than necessary. So what I would like to do is start the program right away. And so tonight I will provide all of those details. So please tune in tonight. And if you aren't able to tune in tonight, of course I will record it. And the recording will be posted as Awakening Together News, which you can find by going to awakening-together.org and going to the About menu. Or if you receive the daily updates, it will be in your daily update, and then you can listen to the recording at your leisure. All right, let me take a sip of tea, and then I'll go on to the next announcement. Very good. Danielle picked out my tea this morning, and I picked out her coffee. She had blueberry coffee, and I'm having blueberry herbal tea, so we each picked blueberry for the other. It's very good. All right, the next announcement that I wanted to make is about events. As you know, the event of the India Pilgrimage has just ended. And if you're on Facebook and if you want to see pictures, you can go to my Facebook wall, scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the pictures from the India event. The next two events that are coming up then, the next one is actually going to be in March. And this is the Costa Rica week-long retreat, which, you know, a couple of the people that are in the room now have already signed up for. If you go to, again, go to awakening-together.org and go to events, you'll see the link for the Costa Rica retreat. And there are some pictures there of the place where we're going to be staying. This is the home of Jeff Danner in Costa Rica. He's the one who has invited us to come. And his home's looks like a pretty amazing place based on these photos. But he invited us specifically to come for a week of contemplation and small group discussion, which sounded wonderful to me. So that's the kind of week that we're going to have. He also mentioned to me that he might hire some locals to come in and maybe teach some Tai Chi or some yoga. He said that we might do some zip lining or things like that. He said we definitely could do some swimming, some walking on the beach. The interesting thing about this particular retreat is that as I speak to Jeff Danner and he tells me some of the things we might include in the week, his language anyway is never highly committal. So because his language is not highly committal, I feel funny within myself telling people we will do these things because there's a part of me that's not certain. So what I'm promising regarding this retreat is that I don't know what we're going to do. That's my promise. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how it's going to unfold. And I'm absolutely willing to show up and... Okay, Dove is telling me I have Chanda Rath as my co-host. I know nothing about that. If I do, that's news to me. I don't know who Chanda Rath is. I'm not sure where you got that information. But like I said, I don't know about this retreat. I do know that there will be spending time together. I do know that there will be some time in silence. We will take some time in silence. I do know there will be some time in group discussion, but when we get there, we're going to let the flow of whatever Jeff may have planned with us unfold along with the flow of whatever we feel spontaneously to do in the moment, and we're going to let it be. Now, some people really like a planned workshop event. That doesn't feel natural to me. They've never felt natural to me, and I am super excited about this completely unknown event, other than the fact that we're going to be together in a beautiful location. Just now, our India trip was not planned. We showed up there. I mean, I knew we were going to be working in orphanages or something, but other than that, I didn't know, and we just showed up, and we did have a host there who had many plans for us that none of us knew anything about, including trips to the market and trips to go shopping and many other things, and it was wonderful just to flow with it. And so Costa Rica is another opportunity to flow with whatever is going to be given. So if you're interested in that particular No Promises retreat, you can go to our website and register there. The next retreat that is coming up after that retreat in March is going to be in May. that's going to be right here in Colorado, just down the street from my house. I will not be a speaker at the retreat. I will be more of the background hostess, making sure all of the logistics work. The speakers at the retreat are the staff of Choose Again from Costa Rica, actually coming to Colorado, Diedrich Woolsack and Claudette Thomas. And I think that probably many of you know about Choose Again's reputation, but maybe some of you don't. Basically, Choose Again has a reputation of being truly helpful to, I'm going to say, for lack of better words, to some of the people who are the hardest cases. By that, I mean people who maybe have been dropped by psychiatrists, who have been to numerous spiritual teachers and seem to make no progress. Seem to stay very stuck in whatever they're stuck in, whether that be some type of a drug addiction or alcohol addiction or gambling addiction or sexual addiction, or whether that seemed to be a severe depression, or whether that seems to be a mental illness. People who just feel stuck, and they also seem stuck when others look at them. Choose Again has a reputation for being able to work with these people, and in a very short amount of time to move them from their stuckness. And in effect, gives them wings. So that then they're able to move on and fly. Choose Again is in Costa Rica, and a lot of people have expressed interest in going to Choose Again. But then when it comes time to take that step to go all the way to Costa Rica, something stops them. So what I've done, in order to hopefully make it a little easier on some of the people who really feel that inner calling to give Choose Again a try, is I've invited them to Colorado. They almost never come to the States for something like a week-long retreat. They do some in Northern Europe, but so far as I know, it doesn't happen in the States. So this is a very unique opportunity. To learn more about Choose Again, you can go to awakening-together.org. There are a few videos on the page that you can watch to become more familiar with their work. And then if you're interested, you can register there on our page. So those are our next two upcoming events, one in March, one in May, one in Costa Rica, and one in Colorado. So what I'd like to do now is go ahead and play our opening song for the day. The name of this song is Everlasting Arms, and it's by an artist named Mike Scott.
Lord, hold me in your everlasting arms, and fold me in your everlasting arms. Let striving cease, that I may come to rest in perfect peace, renewed and truly blessed. Love, hold me swiftly in your everlasting. and stay. I'll go to where a temple stands upon a hill. In silence there, I wait upon your will.
We go into silence, and then I'll bring us out of silence with a brief prayer. I pray for myself now, but I invite anyone who feels this same prayer in their heart to join me. My prayer is not to forget that the purpose of everything is to let go of every concept in my mind that is not true. We have many ideas and opinions that we feel right about without even realizing that we feel right about them. But if we are open to letting go of everything that is false, what happens is that something in us brings us to see what we did not see before. We see where we are just believing. And our heart, which wants to let go of everything that is not true, upon seeing what we are believing, is willing to let it go. There may be another part of us that wants to cling to it. And so we may need a time of patience, a time of resting and relaxing, stepping back within ourselves so that the clinging action naturally weakens and joins the letting go. But again, to be clear, my prayer is to always remember that is the only purpose for everything. Amen. All right, so it is time for our reading. Jacqueline Irwin is our reader today. She is going to read Listen to This World, Listen to This Call by Charles Anderson, more popularly known as Master Teacher. Jacqueline, I turn the mic over to you.
There we go, I have the mic. And is the sound good? Wait, now I have to... Yes, good. All right. From out of time. Listen. Listen, this world. Listen to this call. All of you out there, wherever or whenever you think you are invited to this gathering. This is a celebration of the homecoming of the teachers of God. You are one of us as we are one together. We invite you to the miraculous advent of the reunion of your mind with the mind of God. You've come a long way. You are very much closer to the end of time than you realize. Now is it time at last to free yourself from this chaotic world of loneliness and loss and pain and death, a world constructed by your own nightmare of self-identity. It was only a meaningless place that justified your continuing need of self-sacrifice and annihilation. You have been using it in order to verify and sustain your apparent existence, and now at last it has become intolerable to you. Come then, be freed of this burden of fear and self-doubt that you thought was a necessary and inescapable part of your existence. Come and free yourself that the world may be free. Come and free yourself that the world may be free. Come now to this celebration, you who are heavy laden. We invite you to experience the incomparable healing energies of love emanating from this ever-expanding circle of atonement. It is formed with teachers of God through their uncompromising commitment to and recognition of the miraculous, spontaneous transformation and illumination of their individual minds and bodies. Listen carefully. Stay watchful for the love that is all around you. Come and lay aside the grievances of your old, pitifully fearful, helpless self. You are entering a brand new, yet very ancient, rapidly accelerating continuum of time in which you will recognize yourself as a perfect creation of God. It is important to remember as you enter this new continuum that it is totally impossible for you to meet a stranger anywhere or anytime. The celebrants at this end of time gathering, who are sharing the continuing experience of the grace of God, are at last only subjects in the drama of your own ongoing temporal reality. You know every celebrant here, and you know them well. For indeed, in whatever form they may appear, they retain for you every loving thought and deed that you have shared since time began. All of them are the vital images contained in the miracle of your own personal rebirth and resurrection. Remember, too, this old world of desolation and separation that you have heretofore shared with them. All of these fanciful images in your mutual memories of death that emanated from your momentary incursion into this world are all over and gone. And in fact, were all over and gone a very long time ago. They are only the history of a mistake long since past and forgotten. Release them from the bondage of time and space that has been fearfully fantasized by your own meaningless temporal identity. Watch them spring into light with you as you fulfill the inevitable revolutionary metamorphosis of your own human identity to the singular universal mind of eternal creating reality. Welcome back then from a journey that went nowhere and in reality took no time at all. I have goosebumps. For in truth, you have never left your home in heaven. Enter graciously into this borderland between time and eternity with forgiveness and love in your heart, that you may experience the miraculous certainty that you are still only and have always been the perfect eternal joy and happiness that is the creating mind of God. See then the light that is all about you. See then the joy of these teachers as they declare to you that you are perfect as God created you. Welcome, welcome all. Ooh, thank you for letting me read that.
All right, and since on my computer it actually never showed me drop the mic, I want to make sure I've picked it back up. Are you able to hear me well? Yes, okay, good. So even though I appear locked up from my point of view, it's all still working, so that's good. Often when I'm doing a gathering, not all of the time, but often, you know, in my own reading, I'll come across something that I really feel in my heart to ask the reader to read. And this time, no such reading existed. And so I just asked Jacqueline if there was something she would like to read, and she came back pretty quickly that this was her favorite and that she wanted to read it. And as we heard her when she was reading it, you know, it really speaks to her. She said it was giving her chills as she read it. Now, the interesting thing is, and please forgive my honesty, I have never liked Master Teacher at all. So when Jacqueline picked a reading by Master Teacher, I realized this is perfect. This is an opportunity for me to look at my own mind, let go of my own prejudices and my own judgments. I mean, there's something here that my sister, Jacqueline, loves. There's something here that speaks deeply to her. There's something here that gives her chills. So why should I be so quick to judge it? Well, first of all, I found there's what we could call a practical reason for why I'm not attracted to Master Teacher, at least in the form that he was given to me before. The practical reason is, at Endeavor Academy, at some point, they got my name somewhere. I'm not sure where they got my name and address, and they did, and they sent me a DVD. And I put the DVD in to watch Master Teacher. And my experience was I couldn't understand a word he was saying. I was not all attracted. I couldn't even understand him. And now when I look at what Jacqueline has read, I see why. And this is the reason I'm calling this practical is because it's really just kind of a let me just explain. Instead of trying to define it, let me just explain. I've always had a very simple vocabulary. I don't have a very broad vocabulary, and in fact, many times in my life when reading even novels and stuff, if the novelist put too many big words in, I would lose interest. And you know what? Charles Anderson had a broad vocabulary. So that is a polysyllabic vocabulary. There's another big word, a polysyllabic vocabulary. So that is a practical reason for why when he speaks, I could not hear. It would be just like if someone is teaching in Hindu. You know, I would not understand. And, you know, that is okay. If somebody is speaking in a language or symbols that just do not speak to us and we just feel, you know, I don't feel called to this, that is okay. That's why there are so many teachers, so many symbols, and that's what Awakening Together is all about, is embracing any teaching, any symbol that is helpful for you and realizing that other teachings and other symbols may be helpful to others. But my judgment against Master Teacher went beyond just our language difference. My judgment, of course, and this will not be an unfamiliar story to y'all, was the judgment that it was a cult. The judgment that he perceived himself as special. I even had the judgment that he was crazy, insane, and that people were falling for his insanity, which I could not understand. And the whole thing was bad, and I judged it. That was my story. And as you know, it's a fairly common story. I don't think I shocked anyone by just telling that story. But I'll tell you that that story, even though I believed it, that story was never settled in me. Because as I went through time, and I met more and more people that had been at Endeavor Academy, sometimes for many years, what I saw in these people was what I would call clarity. The same clarity that I realized by listening to my inner teacher. You know, some of the people that I got to know were like, Lisa Natoli. And Lisa Natoli, to this day, as far as I know, still loves Master Teacher. And every time I would run across someone that had been at Endeavor Academy for a long time, that had this same clarity that I had, something in me, that realization of that same clarity, bumped up against my judgment and created an uncomfortableness. But for some reason, I was not willing to look at my uncomfortableness. I was not willing to question it. I wanted to stick with my judgment. And so I stuck with my judgment for a very long time. And what Jacqueline offered me this week was the opportunity to stop it. Just stop it. You know, what is Awakening Together about anyway? What is our purpose? Why are we here? Is it so we'll all like the same teachers? So we'll all speak the same language and judge against those who speak differently? But when I looked at those core values, which I told you are written in my heart, that is not what I saw. In fact, let me just go back to the core values again, if y'all will be patient with me for just a moment. The first core value, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. So do you know what that says to me? That says that if Jacqueline, if her heart stirs, if her heart opens, if she has realizations while listening to and reading to Master Teacher, that is the most magnificent thing that can happen here. That's what that says to me. It doesn't mean that I need to read Master Teacher if it's a struggle for me and not a natural fit, but it does mean that my heart not only honors but celebrates the fact that that writing is here for her to read. There is no teacher that is helpful that I would want to cut out of my heart. There is no teacher that I would want to tell someone you shouldn't listen to that person. I want to let each one be led by their inner guidance to that which stirs them, helps them, awakens them. And Awakening Together is about that. The second core value. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. So here's what that says to me. If I tell Jacqueline, well, you know, Charles Anderson was nothing but a cult leader. That's why he wanted everyone to accept Master Teacher. You know, I don't know why you're listening to him. What I'm really saying behind the scenes is my spiritual intuition is better than yours. You see, I know who's worthy to listen to, and you don't, because you're listening to him and you should know better. But that's not what our core values are about. Our core values say we are all equal and no one has spiritual intuition that is the authority over the spiritual intuition of another. My role is to follow my heart for me. And my role is to respect you as you follow your heart for you. And my role is to see no difference in the two. Core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. You know, that's what we are about. We are here to let go of who we think we are. Well, first of all, when I'm holding on to my judgment of Charles Anderson, I'm actually holding on to my personality, so I'm not following that core value. But secondly, if I look without judgment at what she just read from Charles Anderson, guess what he's talking about? He's talking about letting go of the belief that we are in the individual. It's the exact same teaching. There's nothing out of whack between his teaching and this core value. Number 4, we affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. Well, on the one hand, I could say that for the most part, I'm pretty good at that. I do not idolize the Course. I do not idolize NTI. I do not idolize Ramana Maharshi. All of these teachings that have been helpful to me, I feel that I honestly don't idolize. But what I didn't see is that I was still idolizing by judging some as not bad. You could call it an anti-idol. You know, like you have the Christ and the Antichrist. Well, I had the anti-idol. There were certain teachings that I was saying really should be cut out. That's the same thing as idolization. So I'm really proud to say that thanks to Jacqueline's choice of a reading, I'm letting go of that now. Because if I support these core values, which I do, then I have to see my own error and let it go. Core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. I suppose it is possible that sometimes as we think we are following our inner guidance, we're actually following our ego, and that we are leading ourselves down a path maybe everyone else can see as an error, and at some point we're going to get hurt. I think that that happens in this world. And maybe friends occasionally try and point out to us that it's a mistake. Parents point out to their children when they're making mistakes. But what this also says to me is that ultimately, I'm to honor all experiences. Even if I or someone else are making a mistake, who's to say that that mistake is not a giant step forward? Who's to say what is right and what is wrong? My job is to honor all experiences by continually reflecting on the I am, on the isness, on the changeless self. It is not my job to try and control the world and tell people where they should go or what they should do or how they should see or how they should think. The one person that I watch is me. Everyone else is allowed to be as they are. The most common mistake that we make is trying to get everyone else to change in order to make me feel more comfortable. The wisest thing we can do is to let everyone else follow their path, literally for better or for worse, while we let go of everything in us that is not acceptance. So again, I want to thank Jacqueline for her selection of reading. I perceive it as absolutely perfect. I still would have to sit down and study that reading in order to get anything out of it. You know, some lines in the reading spoke to me, but as far as giving me chills, it didn't happen. But you know what? What gives me chills may not give chills to Jacqueline. And that's okay. That's what we're about. That's what we're here for. You know, one thing I do remember from that reading of Charles Anderson is that we will never meet a stranger. We are all joined together, awakening together. Whether we're a part of this, quote, church or not, whether people perceive themselves on the spiritual path or not, we are all joined together, awakening together. That is the only thing that is actually happening here, no matter what appearance it takes on. So for my part, it seems I just want to remember that. I want to watch my own mind. I want to follow my own guidance. And then let everyone else watch theirs and follow theirs. So now it is time for our open meditation. Barb DeWater is our admin, and she will be posting a link to make a donation if you feel so guided. The song I'm going to play is called Sweet Relaxation. It's by an artist named Stephen Halpern. All right, it is now our open mic time. So if you have something you would like to share that came up for you during the reading or the teaching, please raise your hand. All right. And I was right after I said, please raise your hand, I got a little concerned that because of my locked up position, I wouldn't be able to see the hands. But Neil, I do see you. So take the mic.
Thank you, Regina. I had a question that I put up on the board relationship to what you spoke of here, which was really wonderful, truly. And that was, you know, if that expanded, refreshed perspective of all-inclusive, in particular as to different teachers, and your own experience with master teacher and how it's overcome, if any of that expanded, refreshed perspective came from your journey to India. That was my only question.
Thank you, Neil, and I apologize for not seeing the question. I seldom see what's on the board while I'm speaking. I'm kind of blind to the board in most cases. Occasionally something will jump out at me. But I think I do need to give some credit to India. I've gone to India twice now, and each time I've come back with a major shift. Tay is in the room. I think she's having the same experience. So I think these India pilgrimages are probably worth their while and worth their cost. It's very difficult to talk about a shift because it seems like any words that you put to it aren't exactly true. You know, there's a feeling that you're telling people things that they can't understand from your words. But what seems to have happened while I was in India is that I forgot myself. And I forgot my life. I forgot it. While in India, I was very, very much just in the moment. And I wasn't spending time thinking about who I am or what I think, or what I believe, or how things should be, or how they should not be. And it wasn't that I purposefully, you know, did not think about these things. It's just that those thoughts did not occur. You know, I was there. I was there in that experience, being with that experience for 3 weeks. You know, I think it was Danielle once told me that it takes 21 days to break a habit. Well, guess how long I was in India? 21 days. And when I came back, the first thing I noticed when I came back was that, you know, what I would call my life didn't seem to fit anymore. I didn't fit in it. It didn't fit with me. A very strange, very disconnected feeling. And in fact, I wrote about that today in Sharing Together. If you're in Sharing Together, if you happen to see that post, that's along the same topic. So, in a way, I'm still discovering all of the outcomes. I don't know what other word to use, all of the outcomes of that shift. And what I'm feeling intuitively to do is to stand still in that shift. Stand still in that shift. Now, some people have said to me, you know, if your life feels awkward to you, if you're disconnected from your life, you should make some changes until you feel connected again. My guidance is not to change a thing, at least at this point, not to change a thing, to stand still. And so that is what I am doing. I may not appear to stand still, like you may see me doing things, but within myself, I'm standing very, very still and watching. And that's the answer to your question, Neil. I hope that helps. And Neil says, yes, I felt that and felt instinctively that it, meaning the trip to India, had something to do with it. All right, so we still have plenty of time. I did notice the comment about Teddy not being able to come into the room, and I am willing to discuss that if Melissa wants to take the mic. If not, then I'm also willing to not discuss it. but I just don't want you all to think that there is something that I'm afraid to talk about, because there isn't. So if there's anything that came up for you, again, during the teaching or during the reading, please raise your hand and I'll turn the mic over to you. All right, Dove, the mic is yours.
Okay, let me change the setting so it gets a little, sometimes people say they can't hear me, but make it settings change and then it'll pick up. Okay, I was just speaking to Chandra Roth, who is the person who takes care of Jeffrey Danner's home in Costa Rica, and I said, you know, there's a whole bunch of people from Gather coming down. They says, yes, they're coming down in March. She knows all about it. She has to organize for it. She is the person that usually does cooking down there and usually gets all the things that people require. Certainly Jeffrey has it there for a number of years. And So she just says, oh, I'd love to hear it on the audio. I said, well, Regina made the audio. And she says, well, I'd like to hear your new voice. I said, well, I'm not on the audio, but not yet, but I don't know if I am. So that was only a second ago. So I picked up the mic. Yeah, I'm going to speak a little about my experience of Endeavor. And I also went through all kinds of stuff at the very, very beginning when we before we ever came to Pal Talk and Gather. We were in a little chat room with no microphone in those days. It was just pure text. It was on AOL. And way back around, I guess around 1999 or 2000, one of the guys who had started with us, I'm trying to think of his first name, I'm going to pass that up for a second. He did go to Jeff Norberry, who ran the course in Coasters, all the Miracle community who were part of that original group out of AOL, went to the place in Ohio where all the roller coasters are, and either you went on all the roller coasters or you stayed, you know, just chatting. I wasn't one of the guys who went on the roller coasters. Some of you know me pretty well. I didn't see any need to go on the roller coasters. I did enjoy the company. But he brought to my attention a guy named Alden Hughes. And some of you already know Alden because Alden and Darla have been teachers here for so many years. Alden started with us in 1999, and Alden and Darla were here right up to around 2000. 2008, 2009, maybe 10, I'm not sure. And he was invited by Alden to come to Endeavor to spend an evening, a night. And the way he tells the story is that, you know, he had heard about the cult and he had heard about, you know, what happens at Endeavor and he had heard it. So all these things were in his mind when he went there and of course, whatever you have in mind is going to attract to you what you think is true. And of course, he happened to bump right into Master Teacher in one of Master Teacher's talks and walking down the hall with his entourage. And he said, I knew right then I could not stay at Endeavor that night. He said, I knew I have to go home that night before it's lockup time. And that was my introduction to Endeavor. I really didn't know too much about Endeavor prior to that.
But I was really open, and I've always been open. And he said, but, you know, Alden Hughes is really somebody he would probably love to maybe have as a teacher. So I invited Alden to come. I got to be real friends with Alden. He came to New York along with his wife, Darla. I brought him to his first meeting at John Mundy's church, where he used to be on 57th Street. And Alden, of course, and Darla have always been good friends. So I think if you keep your mind open, and that's obviously what trust is all about, that I really don't know what anything is for. You know, and I'm so glad, as Lynn just mentioned, we have Juby, Oleani, and Claire LaManna come here once a month. They, of course, were very, very close to Master Teacher, and we just love their jubilant, clear teaching. We also have Matthew Land, who I just want to say, Matthew Land came here about 4 or 5 years ago. And I must, I said this to Matthew, so this is not speaking, you know, with Matthew here or not. Matthew was one of the really unruly people here. He was a rebel. He actually talked about committing suicide. I think you mentioned that earlier, Lynn. People who, you know, there's nowhere else to look. Somehow he found his way, and you know what means by somehow. Holy Spirit guided him to endeavor. He came back here like 4 years later, which was only about 2 or 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And he says, you know, I like to teach. And I said, well, you know, Matthew, I can find a half hour for you. He said, only a half hour. I said, well, that's what we got now. I said, but by the way, we have an open hour this evening. Do you want to take it? I was never so floored and amazed at a difference between somebody who I knew 4 years ago and somebody who had the incredible, incredible distinction in being totally responsible for such a distinction and discernment between where he was. I mean, you know, that speaks so highly of what happens at Endeavor. So I just want to share all of this, and thank you so much. And Chandra, I hope I might make it down there in March. I don't know, but I know you're listening to this. Thank you all for listening. Over to you. Thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you so much, Regina.
Thank you, Dov. And okay, so Chandra, now I know who Chandra Rath is. And I do look forward to meeting you in March. So that sounds wonderful. All right, so we still have a bit of time. We have approximately 5 minutes for open mic. So again, if anyone has anything they want to share that has come up for them today during this gathering, please raise your hand. All right, Lynn, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for these mighty companions, all of you, everyone who is here, every thought and idea that is expressed, I know it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to me. You know, I have no experience with any of these things that, you know, I had opinions about Endeavor. I've had opinions about other leaders and other groups and other quote-unquote cults and all sorts of ideas in the past because I was mistaken about why we're here. And when I come to realize, and especially this morning's lesson, today's lesson, as I was reading it this morning and imagining, thinking, and knowing that every single brother that is here for that very purpose to awaken us from the dream that we are all, yes, mighty companions, Master Teacher, Matthew Land, you know, everyone who comes into our purview, whether it is by, you know, just hearing or knowing about the person, or meeting the person, or living with the person, or spending your life with the person, it doesn't matter. Every single one of us has the same gift, and that is the gift of being the Son of God. And so if every single one of us has the same gift and we are all equal, as Awakening Together, our tenets are very clear about, then it doesn't matter who, it doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter what your persuasion or thought or idea or teaching, you're here for me. And you're here to join with me, and you're here to help me remember who I am. And it is my intention totally to look only for that and for nothing else. Teach only love, because that is what I am. So thank you, Regina. Thank you all. And I love you all. And here's the mic.
Thank you very much, Lynn. and Karen Ann on Tuesday night, because I never get to hear you on Tuesday nights because I have NTI group here. I didn't have NTI group last week because it was my rest and recuperation week from my India trip. So I thought, oh, this is my chance to hear Karen Ann. So I showed up in the room, but because of my jet lag, I fell asleep and slept through the whole thing. So I apologize. I had the best of intentions. Hopefully I'll have another opportunity to come on a Tuesday night. all right, so I want to thank everyone for coming this morning. Just a reminder that tonight we have our monthly membership meeting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're going to talk about the Minister Preparation Program. What I'm going to do now is play my closing song. I don't even remember where I got this song. It's new to me. I found it on my inspiration list today and my inspiration playlist, and I don't recall ever hearing the song. So maybe what happened is somebody sent it to me just before I went to India, and I quickly downloaded it and then took off without listening, because it seems to me that this is the first time I've ever heard the song this morning when I played it. But it's a lovely song. It's called Guide Me As I Go. It's by a group called Awakening from an album called Calling All Sleepers. So here we go. Guide Me As I Go.
Presence gives me glances of home. My spirit is reminded of where it belongs. But valleys, clouds, and time cover so much. With every step I take, I need your touch. So guide me as I go. The path you only know. It's hard to see the light as I journey into night. So guide me as I go. Thank you. my longing soul can see farther than my eyes. So much ground to walk. How many miles? Perhaps a new road or secret gate. My heart is stirring. It can't wait. So guide me as I go. The path you only know. It's hard to see the light as I journey into night. So guide me as I go. The road is hard to see as it narrows in on me. I long to turn around. All I hear is the sound. You say I'll guide you as you go. The path I only know. I know it's hard to see the light, but I will give you sight. So I'll guide you as you go.
There we go. Guide me as I go. next week, our gathering will be led by Dove Fishman. Dove and I were both away the entire month of November. We gave Dove off from gatherings in the month of November so that he could heal from cancer. And my goodness, that's exactly what he did. He healed from cancer. From what I understand, the tumor is gone. So he's going to be back on the schedule again, and he'll be leading next Sunday's gathering. So everyone have a wonderful day, and hopefully I'll see you in the room this evening. Also, it is time for social hour. If you'd like to hang around for that, bring your own coffee, tea, or snacks. Letting go of the mic.